You know, under the Old Covenant, before the temple could be filled with the glory of God, it had to be prepared. It had to be cleansed. Amen? Sanctified, set apart. And they did that with two ingredients. The first one was blood. Amen? And the second was oil. Everything was sanctified with blood and oil. And we know that represents the blood of the perfect Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ is the only, amen, thing that can bring us close to God, into His presence, that can qualify us for His presence. And the holy oil of God represents His Spirit. Amen. So we need the blood and the Spirit. Hallelujah. So before the Spirit, before the oil was applied, they first applied the blood. That means we need to repent first. Amen. And yield our lives to Christ. Let Him have full possession. Amen. Let Him wash away our sin. Cleanse our hearts. Even sprinkle our conscience. So we can with confidence come before Him and then pray, O God, fill me with Your Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. I want people to see Jesus. How about you? Amen. We're not here to present ourselves, but Christ. Hallelujah. So may the glory of God overshadow us. Amen. Clothe us in His presence. We are righteous by the righteousness of Christ. Not because we performed well, but because we trusted well. We trust in the Lord, don't we? And when you receive the grace of God through faith, it produces righteousness. When you receive the grace of God, it teaches you to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. Amen? To live soberly, righteously, soberly in this present world. So the Lord will teach us, amen, the way that we should go. We receive a teacher, don't we? The Holy Spirit, who comes to dwell within the heart that has been cleansed and prepared for Him to dwell in. Amen. And in the old covenant, God would never dwell in an unclean temple. Amen. They had to very specifically purge and cleanse and make ready. Even the vessels that were within the temple had to be also sanctified. So likewise, you and I, in order for us to be containers and to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we must have pure hearts. For blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Hallelujah. And God is the one who can make you pure. And when you receive the grace of God, it will produce in you a righteous character, amen, that will desire to live right. Amen. It's not the opposite where we're trying to live right so God will accept us. No, we have to first place ourselves at His feet, at His mercy, and cry out to God for mercy. Amen. That God would be merciful to us and that God would apply the blood of Calvary, amen, to our hearts and prepare us to be vessels, to be His temple, a habitation of God in the Spirit. And then we receive the filling of the Holy Spirit. Do you know God wants every part of us to be sanctified? He doesn't want us to have any secrets. Amen. He wants us to be completely transparent, because how many know that God knows anyways? Right? He knows who we really are. He knows our victories, and He also knows our blunders. And so when we mess up, what do? We run to God for help. We run to God for mercy and find His grace, His ability to live right. You see, we can't live right apart from His grace. It's not by might nor power, but by My Spirit, says the Lord. It's by His presence and we have victory. Hallelujah. And, you know, I just wanted to make mention. I was thinking this morning in the Sunday school. At 9:15 every Sunday morning, we have Sunday school. And what we're doing is, and Brother Wayne is teaching the class, but we're going through the Bible book by book, verse by verse. And right now, we're in the book of Genesis, okay? So we've been basically studying books of the Bible. So it's a really good time to come and to receive, but also to share and to learn the scriptures. And this morning was exceptionally good. We were talking about Lot in the city of Sodom, you know, in those cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, and his family, and what was going on, and how Lot had been captivated by what he saw, and he had lusted for the world. And, you know, one of the things that really stood out was that Lot first camped outside or near the city, right? He's first near the city. And next thing you know, he's in the city. And the city represents the world system that's in rebellion to God. The cosmos, the world. Amen. And so we have to be very careful that we don't dabble with the world. Amen. That we don't play with fire, because you've heard the old saying, well, if you play with fire, you'll get burned. And at first you may think, well, nothing happened, so it must be okay, or God doesn't really care that much about what I'm doing. How many know that because things don't happen quickly enough sometimes, we just think that, well, I got away with it, therefore things are going to continue the way they are. It's no different than Samson thinking that he could play around with the ladies, you know, and that he was still going to carry that anointing no matter what. Why? Because it didn't happen right away, did it? It was just kind of like a process that he got involved with. And one day, he realized that he had lost the anointing because of compromise. But it didn't happen overnight. Do you understand? The devil is slick. He wants to kind of seduce us. And he starts out with little things, little compromises. You know, just camp outside the city at first. You don't have to actually live in it, but just camp outside the city. You know, it's no different than Adam and Eve in the garden. You know, we've often asked the question, should they have been even any place close to that tree? You know, they had to first be close to that tree in order to be tempted, right? It was in the midst of the garden, but God had given them a choice, didn't he? And you and I are not forced to obey God. We're given a choice who we're going to serve. How many know that's true? Because this is a relationship. It's not forced labor. It's a labor of love. We serve God out of love. We obey him out of love. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. We can sing the songs about loving Jesus, but our life will demonstrate where our true affection is, where our love is. The way we live will demonstrate whether we are a follower of Jesus or not. How many know that your best belongs to God? My best belongs to him. Sometimes we get our priorities mixed up, don't we? And sometimes we are putting what we want before what God wants. Or sometimes we're giving the world more passion and affection than we give to God. People can go to a game and scream to their lungs fall out and their voice is gone and they're praising their team. But then where's the praise that belongs to God? I truly believe that your highest praise belongs to God. If you can scream that loud at a game, you need to scream louder amen to Jesus. Hallelujah. Not at Jesus, but when we get together and we praise the Lord, we should give him our best. Hallelujah. You know, when Jesus walked this world, he didn't seek to esteem himself, but he sought to esteem the Father who sent him. Likewise, you and I are not to esteem ourselves, but to esteem the one who sends us. If we are messengers of God, that means that we represent him, his interests, His will, His purposes, and we are not to receive glory unto ourselves, but we are to point people to the one, amen, through whom God is working. And God works through us, but we point people to Jesus, amen. So if somebody comes up and they said, hey man, that was great. Thank you. That was a good sermon, or that you really blessed me by what you did or what you say. You know, it's okay to say thank you. Amen. Out of respect. But then we should turn right around and give it to God, right? Amen. Because God is pleased with you as well when you do the right thing. Amen. And your Father in heaven commends you, and often God will commend you through others. When they come up and say, man, I was really blessed by what you said or what you did. And we can just simply say, thank you, Lord, for allowing me to partner with you and be a partner with you in this ministry, a co-laborer with you. So, question, does God deserve our best? Yeah. Do you offer your best to God? Do you give God your best praise? Do I give my best gift to God? Do I offer my best service to God? I believe that when you work your secular job, you should be working as what? Unto the Lord, as an act of worship. You do your best, but you're doing it for God, amen, and unto God. And if your ways are pleasing, amen, to the Lord, even those that you work for are going to take note. Here's an exceptional employee. They're hardworking, they're dependable. I can trust them even when I'm not around. They're integrous. Because we are representing the honor of God in this world. It's no different, once again, than if we have our children do things that embarrass us sometimes, right? When they're little, they're cute, but as they get older, it's not so cute anymore, right? And so it reflects on the family name. So in our last name is kind of a unique name. You don't hear too many Arnsmars. So if you hear that name, we're probably related, okay? So if I acted out, and I did at times in my life, probably too many times, and I can remember acting out at school, and then the parent-teacher night came. I was like, oh no, man, they're going to bust me out. They're going to tell everything, you know? And I can remember some teachers, because I was expecting to get it, you know, and they came back and they were kind of smiling and kind of upbeat. And I was like, oh, great. Somebody had shown me some grace, you know. But then you had those teachers that didn't like you anyways because you were such a pain in the neck. And they just like give you the law, you know. They gave you that equal justice. Isn't that the way it is with our Father, though? We don't always get what we deserve. It's called grace. As a matter of fact, God gives us, amen, slack sometimes. He gives us an opportunity to repent. But don't ever misunderstand that just because God has been gracious to you, all right, that means that you can continue to do what you're doing when you know He doesn't approve of it. Because the time comes when God says, okay, that's it. I've given you opportunity. I gave you space. You refuse to repent. It's too late. I want us to turn to Malachi chapter 1 today. Malachi chapter 1, verse 6 through 14. Malachi chapter 1, verse 6. A son honors his father, verse 6, and a servant his master. If then I am the Father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts. To you priests who despise my name. And yet you say, in what way? Verse 6, what way have we despised or disesteemed your name? So they're asking the question, how, Lord, did we disesteem or despise your name? Now, understand that in the Old Covenant, there was a priesthood assigned, right, to the duties of the tabernacle, to the sacrifices and the different duties assigned to the temporal redemption process of that day. And so these priests were given specific instructions from the Lord. Amen. And when the people would come and they would present their gift to God, you know, God took note of what type of gift they would bring, what quality of gift they would bring, whether or not it was their best offering or just whatever. Any old thing will do. You understand that as New Testament believers, we can highly esteem the things that are temporal and lightly esteem the things that are eternal. We can spend ourselves on vanity and on temporary things. We can be passionate about temporal things and yet lightly esteem or even despise, as the word is, those things that are of God. In other words, my life first, my desire first, my will first, and if I have anything left over, I'll give that to God. When we give gifts, do we give God our best gift? When we give praise, do we give God our best praise? When we serve, do we give God our best service? I'm fully for doing a good job at whatever you're doing, but are you doing it, first of all, unto the Lord, and are you giving God your best? A lot of times, we put our own things before His things. We prioritize the things that we value. And you can really tell where a person's at because where their treasure is, that's where their heart is. So what you spend your time on, what you commit yourself to, what you're passionate about is really where your heart's at. So I can spend myself in all kinds of things that this world has to offer, entertainment, are you hearing me? Pleasures of this life, temporal things, and maybe give God a little bit of my leftovers, a little bit of my spare change. I'll give God a little bit of service, but really it's all about me, you know. Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say?" If He's Lord, then that means He's in charge. And we receive our orders from Him as Lord. So God was rebuking the priests of that day, of Malachi's day, because they were lightly esteeming the things of the Lord. And they weren't honoring Him. They were failing to honor His name by their nonchalant attitude towards the things of God. The people had backslidden to such a place that they didn't even realize that they were dishonoring God. You understand? We can actually be living a life that is dishonoring to God and not be aware of it. Because when we are away from God, when we backslide, when we fall away from God, we become blind to our true condition. And we can actually be living a life that is actually bringing reproach upon the Lord and not even be aware of it. Laodicea, the lukewarm church, was not aware that they were lukewarm. They were doing all kinds of good services, but they were not giving God their first and their best. The church at Ephesus had left its first love. And they were still actively engaged in church services, if you will, and doing even work for God, but they had left their first love, so that God was not number one in their life. He wasn't the one that was esteemed above everything and everyone else in their life anymore. God was no longer number one. He was someplace else, second place now. Are you hearing me? He said in verse 7, "You offer defiled food on my altar, But you say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying the table of the Lord is contemptible, disesteemed. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts? Do you understand? If we got summoned to come before the President of the United States or some high official, what would our attitude be? If we were called before a king, you know, you don't come before a king without an offering or some kind of gift. Amen? What kind of gift would we bring? Would we bring just whatever? My second best, that leftover pair of socks, you know? No, I would give the king what? My best. How much more the King of Glory? You know? We should be offering him our absolute best. We should be giving him, amen, the most quality time of our lives and our days. And what can I do for you, Jesus? How can I love you back? How can I bless your heart? And God looks at the offering that we give. He looks at our service. He looks at our praise. He's looking at our walk, and he can determine by that whether or not he is number one in our lives. Whether we really esteem God above everything and anything else. So what was happening here is the people were going into the marketplace and they were buying sacrifices that were maimed or lame or had, you know, they were blind sacrifices. So they're getting the budget sacrifice to give to God. Are you hearing me? How many know God doesn't deserve our budget? He deserves our best. He deserves the very best that we can offer him. If you're going to serve the Lord with all your heart. Amen? Serve the Lord the best you can because God deserves it. He's worthy of our service. Based upon all that he has done for us, he deserves our absolute best. My best belongs to God. So the Lord says, you've been bringing defiling things. How? And what an insult it is. God looks upon that and he says, is that what you think about me? You know, we often use the term, well, it was the thought that counted. Well, you must not have thought very highly in some cases. Come on. God is in the sacrifice. If all you have is a little, then give God your best. If you have a lot, then give God your best. God is in that. God pays attention to what we do. He's looking at our hearts. He's seeing the heart of the giver. He wants a joyful giver. Amen? When we offer our lives back to God, we should joyfully offer ourselves back to God and give him our best. It doesn't belong to the Seahawks. Amen. It belongs to Jesus. They acted as if anything was good enough. You know, there's nothing new under the sun. The same thing happens today in the New Testament. People lightly esteem the things of God. It's not that important. Being involved in the kingdom of God, being involved in the service of God, being involved in the body of Christ, being involved in what God is doing, amen, isn't that all important? What's more important is what I want to do, when I want to do it, how I want to do it. And if there's anything left over, maybe I'll give God a little of my spare change. How many know that God does not look favorably upon that kind of attitude? It's an insult to who he is. He said, go ahead. Offer what you're offering to me to your governor. See how he would like it. An earthly authority that does not even compare to God Almighty. Amen? He was really showing where their hearts were. In verse 9 he says, now entreat God's favor. Entreat God's favor that he may be gracious to us. While this is being done by your hands, will he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts? Who is there even among you who would shut the doors so that you would not kindle fire on my altar in vain? He says, I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from your hands. Now hear me, guys. God accepts the offering, okay, that is given from a right heart. But he does not accept the offering, okay, that is second best. He accepts the offering that is given from a right heart, that is the best you can do, but he doesn't accept second best. Why? Because he's God and he deserves it. How many know that whatever you have, whatever you've been given, whatever you've been blessed with, whatever talents you have, whatever ability we've been given by God, it all came from him anyways. We don't have anything to give back to God that he didn't first give to us. So God gives it to us and says, here, be faithful with what I've given you. Go and trade, amen, with your gift. Go and increase what I placed in your hands. I've made an investment in you because I want you to have an abundant welcome into my kingdom someday. Amen. So what are we doing with the gift of God? Are we giving God our best, or are we just giving him our leftovers? Well, we can't get out of bed to go to church, but we'll certainly get out of bed to go to work. Where's your value at? Where is your treasure? What is most important? How many know I'm not talking about just going to church today? How many know that that is important? How many know that God wants us in church? Come on, somebody. When my heart is right with God, I desire what he desires. Come on. And I'll go ahead and go, because if not, they're going to look down on me or they're going to judge me. Don't go for people, go for God. Amen. You got to stay home for some reason, stay home. If God says, okay, stay home, stay home. But be careful what voice you're listening to, because I know there's that other voice that likes to impersonate the Holy Spirit, that wants to justify and rationalize what we do and make excuses for what we do and kind of give yourself some grace that God's saying, that's not my grace. That's the grace you gave yourself. How many know that we're good at covering things up? We're good at saying, well, I'll do this for God over here, but I'm not going to deal with what God's been dealing with me over here. As if somehow, you know, I'm just going to put a little bit more on the good side of the scale, but I'm not going to deal with the bad side of the scale. God's saying, what's that? What are you doing with that? Well, look, Lord, look what I'm bringing you. Look what I'm giving you. What about that? What about what I told you? Come on, somebody. If you love Jesus, you will obey him. Oh, how I love Jesus. Do you? Do you really love Jesus? I want to love Jesus. I want to love him with all my heart. I want Jesus to be first. I want him to receive my best. I don't want to give him my leftovers. I don't want to give him my second best. If you're going to do something for Jesus, do it with all your heart. Do it the best you can. Amen. Give God your best. And when God sees that you are presenting to him your best. Amen. What was the problem with Cain and Abel? Abel gave God his best. Cain gave his second best. God accepted favorably Abel's offering. But he rejected Cain because he lightly esteemed God. Are you hearing me? If you really esteem God, Jesus esteemed the Father in everything he did. The Father's will was his priority of life. Even when it meant he would be uncomfortable or he'd have to deny himself, he would deny himself so that he would give his Father first place in his life. So the Lord says here, through the prophet, that you need to turn back to God. God's not accepting your offerings. God's not accepting your praise. Are you hearing me? We can come to church and you can praise the ceiling off. Amen. But if your heart ain't right and you're being rebellious and disobedient and you're giving God your second best, that's not acceptable to God. God's saying, what are you doing with what I told you to do? Sometimes we wonder, well, why, how come my prayers aren't being answered? Well, take a look. Are you giving God your best? Are you obedient? The Lord was saying here in verse 10, who is there among you who would shut the doors so that you would not kindle fire on my altar in vain? I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from your hands. The Lord says he wishes someone would shut the doors of the temple so the sacrifices might stop. God's actually saying, I wish you'd just shut the door. Just stop it, okay? I see your heart, and it's not acceptable. You know, the Lord is so good, so gracious, so loving, so kind, so merciful, and so deserving, so worthy of our best, that it's an insult to who he is when we offer him blemished offerings. We give him our spare change, our leftovers. If I have any time, I'll give myself to God. When I retire, I'll give myself to God. Oh, will you? You know, God's calling us to repent. God loves us so much. And God wants to share his glory with us. He wants to share his kingdom with us. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. But if we have idols in our hearts, idols in our lives, and these other things that are more important to us than the things of God, God looks at that unfavorably. And he does not accept your blemished offerings. Are you hearing me, somebody? How many know that God is not unjust? He's a just God. God had every right to be upset with the people of his day, because he saw past the external worship. He saw past the religion, the religious practices of going through the motions. Okay, we'll sing the songs, we'll give the offering, we'll do whatever, we'll listen to that long message, and sometimes that hard message. And we gave God enough for the week. When Jesus hung on that cross, shed his blood, died in agony to redeem us from death and hell, amen, from the grave, to bring us into relationship with him, to give us an inheritance with him, to partner with him, to walk in new life with him, to have hope, amen, in him. How many of you know that he deserves our best? Amen. You bring your first to God. You bring your best to God. And God will accept it. How many know that the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever? He's the same God. Again, Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? The only reason we're blessed is because God is good. It's because of his goodness and his grace that we're blessed. He gave us mercy when we deserved wrath. And in light of his great mercy, we should be offering our best back to him. Amen? And we should be grateful in all things. Grateful for what the Lord has done for us. And when you really have a heart of gratitude towards the Lord, you will give yourself back. You'll respond back with worship. You'll respond back with thanks. You'll respond back with praise. You'll respond back with a body being offered back to him, amen, for his service. And say, Lord, I can give you my body. I can be a vessel for you. What can I do for you? I want to give you my best. I used to be so passionate about music in the world, and And I used to spend so many hours practicing and trying to get good so that, you know, I can entertain people. You know? But all that is just garbage now compared, you know, to me giving now this gift that He gave me back to Him. And I want to do the best I can for God. I want to give Him my best. Amen? I don't want to wing it. I want to give God my best. God knows what we're capable of. And God knows what's going on inside. And we need to guard against idols and these other things that come in and take priority over His things. One of the telltale signs that we're backsliding is that we begin to grumble. And we begin to complain. When we're no longer being thankful, the opposite of thanksgiving is grumbling and complaining. You know, God hates grumbling and complaining, doesn't He? Because it means that we're ungrateful. I remember hearing a story of some teens that came when I was in a certain Assembly of God years ago. Coming back from a mission trip, they went down to Mexico. And over again, we heard complaints about the food and the discomfort and this wasn't right and that wasn't right. And then, oh, how they complained that on the way back, on their journey back on the van, they had to eat at Denny's so many times. Well, you know, how many people would say, you got to eat at Denny's? If we eat once in a day, it's a good day, and you're complaining about eating at Denny's? Do you see what's happening here? How we become spoiled and ungrateful? That's why we have to be very careful in all things to give thanks. We're celebrating Thanksgiving. I like what you said, brother. Every day is a day to give thanks to God. Thank God when you get out of bed in the morning. Thank God for the day He gave you. Amen. And throughout your day, even in the difficulties, still give God thanks because we know He promises to work all things together for what? The good. So we give thanks to God. And what does Thanksgiving do? Thanksgiving produces praise. Authentic praise brings His presence. And His presence is the fullness of joy. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. But when we grumble and complain. Have you ever met a joyful complainer? That's why in 1 Corinthians 10 we read how God was not pleased with His people in the wilderness. See, God was taking them through something to qualify for something better. And instead of understanding and knowing the heart of God, the good heart of God, they begin to look at their situation around them and they begin to complain and blame God when God was actually trying to do something for them. Sometimes difficulties are necessary to bring us to the place where we need to be so that God can do something with us. Amen. Prepare us for what He has, which is superior to where we're at right now. But with many of them, God was not pleased. Why? And their bodies were even scattered in the wilderness. Many of them didn't make it into the promise of God because they began to grumble. They began to complain. They became unthankful. If all you have is manna, praise God for the manna. Amen. We need to be thankful. It amazed me how we'd run into beggars at times when I was in India and they would, you know, the dollar went a long ways over there. I think it was like $8 India to $1 America. So if $1 would equal like $8 over there. And you know, and they would discourage us from giving to the people, but you know, you just kind of, your heart went out to them. And over there, they don't have a welfare system like we do here. Amen. If you're homeless and you're down and out there, you're in trouble. You are really hurting. Amen. I remember even in Korea. The same thing was true. Or people, you know, they didn't have any legs. They just pushed themselves along on a little dolly thing with their hands on the street. I mean, that's how they made, and they begged, you know. But I remember giving the people just what I thought might have been, you know, a halfway decent, but really not that much because, you know, you only had so much to go around. But you gave them a little gift and they were blown away at your generosity because they never got anything that great from anybody. They'd always get a lot less than that. And to me, it just seemed like really that wasn't all that much, but to them, it was so much. And they had such gratitude over the little thing that you did for them, that you gave them. I remember hearing friends going to the Philippines and they may eat one chicken a week. And when they came, the missionaries came, they gave up their only bed, which was nothing much to talk about, but it was at least off the ground. And they would sleep on the ground and give the missionary the bed. And what they would do is they'd take that one chicken and they'd give it to their guests. We live in a nation where we're so rich. The poor in this nation are rich compared to most of the world. And it seems like when we have more, we become more ungrateful. When we have more, we seem to forget God. What do I need God for? I got everything. We think we got everything we need. God doesn't need anything from us. He owns it all. We're the work of His hands. We are His creation. We couldn't even bring a gift to God unless God had first given it to us. But guys, I want to encourage you today to really take a look and evaluate where you're at, where you've been living, what your priority is. Is God really first? Do you give God your best, or do we just give Him whatever? However, where's His honor? Where is our reverence for Him? Where is the fear of God today? We think obedience to Christ is optional. If I feel like it. Lightly esteeming. God sees that. He doesn't accept that kind of offering. He doesn't accept that kind of service. We're going to give God something. You give Him your best. If God's gifting you and He's giving you a gift, then you use that to the absolute best you can. Amen. For His glory. If you're going to give a gift, give the best you can. Give your best. Oh, we're good at giving ourselves gifts. Come on. How about giving God our best gift? I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Malachi 1:11 says this, "For from the rising of the sun even to its going down, my name shall be great among the Gentiles." Israel was to represent God's honor to the nations surrounding them. You and I are to represent our Father in heaven to the nations surrounding us, to the people around us. Amen. And He said, "In every place incense shall be offered to my name, and a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. But you profane it, in that you say the table of the Lord is defiled, and its food is contemptible. And you also say, oh, what a weariness." In other words, they were tired of serving God. "And you sneer at it," says the Lord of hosts. "And you bring the stolen, the lame, and the sick. Thus you bring an offering. Should I accept this from your hand?" says the Lord. "But cursed be the deceiver who has in his flock a male and takes a vow and sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished. For I am a great king," says the Lord of hosts, "and my name is to be feared among the nations." We are not entitled to anything. You know, we have an entitlement mentality today, don't we? Think about it. We all began our journey from the foundation of being lost and without hope. That's all we had to give to God. Brokenness. I'm lost. I'm without hope. The foundation of my Christian faith was not my goodness, but it was my depravity. Amen? It was my recognition that I am a lost, hopeless sinner in need of God's grace. That's the foundation where we got started, and God in His mercy forgave us, cleansed us, filled us with His Holy Spirit, made an investment in our lives and say, now, I want you to go and bear fruit and glorify your Father in heaven. When you give your best to God, you glorify your Father in heaven. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. We represent His honor to this world, just as Israel of old was to represent God to the nations surrounding them. And what happened was their service became an obligation, and it was no longer a labor of love. I've seen it happen. Even people that have served in the church, for example, maybe teaching Sunday school or nursery or doing something. Amen. Even I'm talking about inside the church now. Amen. Where they start out with a heart of love. Just, Lord, how can I serve you? What can I do for you? You know, oh, you need the church clean. You need to sweep the floor. I'll sweep the floor. The toilets need cleaning. I'll joyfully clean the toilets because I'm doing it for you. Are you hearing me? And then after a while, something happens and all of a sudden it becomes weariness. It becomes an obligation. Oh, I'm no longer praying and preparing like I used to because I'm just trying to punch the clock, get in and get out. Get this classroom over with. Are you hearing me, somebody? When we have a heart that's right with God and the passion of Christ is in us, amen, we're going to want to do the best we can, amen, to serve His people, to teach these children, amen, to impart the grace of God into others, amen. Why? Because we're doing it for Jesus. We're doing it as unto the Lord, amen. So whatever I do in word or deed, I do all for the glory of God, amen. I do my best for Jesus. If you're going to teach, prepare yourself, study, pray up, get on fire for God, amen, and go in there and start a fire in those children. Start a fire in your youth, amen. Don't just punch the clock and say, well, we're just going to get through another night and survive another night. Come on, we're here to do God a service, amen, and not unto man. But we'll find that when our heart is in love with Jesus, we'll be in love with each other too, amen. We'll love the people. And how many have discovered, and I'm almost through, that the more that you invest in somebody, the more that you will love them. You start ministering to somebody, pouring your life into somebody, you start having a bigger heart for that person. When you have children, the longer you have that child and the more you've given into that child and raised that child as they get older, your heart for them grows as well. Because what you're investing in, amen, is your treasure. We look at the opportunity God gives us. He brings us children. Amen? What an opportunity. Amen? We can make a difference in their lives. We can sow into these youth, amen, and give them something that will help them in their life, that will make a difference. We want to see them transformed. We want to see them change. We want to see them on fire for God. We want to see them living for God. Amen. And if they're not on fire for God, then get a hold of God. Amen. And say, God, we need you to wake us, shake us, whatever it's going to take. We need a move of your Spirit that's going to wake us up from the dead. Amen. Can these dry bones live? Absolutely. We start prophesying to them. We start speaking the word of God to people. Amen. And their hearts will come alive. Give God your best. Whatever you do, amen, because that's our reasonable act of service, to give ourselves back to Him and to live for Him. Am I speaking the truth today? Thank you for listening. I hope you don't feel I'm browbeating you today. I love you. I'm telling you the truth because I want to see every one of us giving God our best. Amen. God expects me to do the same. I don't want to give God a blemished offering. I don't want to give Him my second best. I don't want to give Him my leftover time. I don't want to give Him my spare change. I want to give God my best. Hallelujah. How many here are with me on that? Thank you, Lord. Father, we are truly grateful that we were able to get out of bed this morning. That You gave us life and breath. You gave us the ability, Lord, to come here and be here and listen. God, You gave us the ability to eat this morning, to have clothes to put on, God. You've given us a roof over our head. Thank God for all Your provision, God. Lord, we don't ever want to forget You. As You prosper Your people, God, as You bless Your people, may we never forget You. May we never stop giving You our best, putting You first in all things. Lord, navigating by Your Holy Spirit, lead us in the way we should go as a people, Lord. Bring us back to You. Lord, if we've left our first love, bring us back to that place again. And I just want you to listen as I read this, and we're going to finish with this. Write this letter to the angel of the church of Ephesus. This is the message from the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know all the things you do. Hear me. I have seen your hard work and your patient endurance. I know you don't tolerate evil people. You have examined the claims of those who say they are apostles but are not. You have discovered they are liars. You have patiently suffered for me without quitting. But I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. Look how far you have fallen. Turn back to me and do the works you did at first. If you don't repent, I will come and remove your lampstand from its place. Do I offer my best to God? If we can take a look at ourselves today and say, am I alive in Christ? Am I in love with Jesus? Is Jesus my number one? Do I give Jesus my all and all? If not, return. Go back to that place where you left off. Where was it? Where you used to walk? Were you excited about Jesus? You were excited about coming to church. You were excited about being involved in what God was doing. You were excited about the privilege of serving Him. You were excited about learning and reading the Word of God and discovering more and more of who He is. You were excited about the fact that you got to talk and communicate and pray and spend time with your God every day. And you were excited about telling others about Jesus. If you've drifted from that place where you were, God says, return. Repent. Go back and do the things that you once did. Recommit yourself to the Lord. Would you do that right now? Are you willing to truly give up your life for Him? To let Him have your life? Lord, I just ask You to help us to see, to understand, to know Your will, and to be filled with that knowledge. We might be about Your business. Lord, I ask You to make every crooked place in me straight. God, I pray that You would change my mind and change my heart. So, Lord, I'll be in agreement with You. I want to see Your kingdom here. I want to see Your kingdom come. I want to see Your will be done on earth. Lord, I want to see your kingdom come and will be done in me and through me. Help us, Lord, to get back to that place where we belong, to walk with you once again, to rediscover the joy of fellowship, the awe and the wonder of discovery, seeking you as a precious jewel. Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Lord, I want that heart. Lord, give us a heart like David. God, we want to have a heart that is after your own heart. That we're willing to do all of your will, Lord. Would you just let God do that today? Say, Lord, change my heart. Make it true. Hallelujah. Blessed be your name.